Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service.
Wow, that is a lot of kids. On staff, I'm kind of known as the time cop when putting together our worship services. That's not a compliment to me. And then we had already put this worship service together, including the Hope Heals stuff, and then we had that video. And the kind of the rule of thumb that I have is like, if we're gonna run long, we either better be laughing or crying. And I think that video accomplished that. But able to shave off a couple minutes here and we won't get you out too late. Want us to pray together and then would like to read the scriptures. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, in Miriam and I, originally from California, we moved from California where we lived in a little apartment, and then to Georgia where we first lived in Smyrna, and then a few years after that to Sandy Springs. As I said, in California, a little apartment, so there was no yard. Can you guys hear an echo? Because I can. So we moved from California, lived in an apartment, no yard to keep. That was really nice. Moving to Smyrna, we had like a half an acre that needed to be mowed, you know, about once a week. And when I say we, I had a half an acre that had to be mowed every week. And it was brutal in the July humidity. And then we moved to Sandy Springs, and we traded mowing a bunch of grass for having to blow and bag leaves, prune back ivy, and all of that stuff. Sometimes I think mowing the grass in the 100 degrees of July is better. Our record today is 100 yard waste bags out in front of the house. And I also learned that waste management picks up 7 of those a week. When cutting back the ivy, getting our yard nice in these homes that we've lived in, it's a major challenge. One such time, we discovered a bunch of poison ivy. When I say we, Miriam discovered a bunch of poison ivy, and that too is brutal. And we had to prune this stuff back to make it manageable, to make our yard look nice so our kids could play in the area. We obviously had to cut out the poison ivy because you don't want to come across that week after week. And so all that to say is I can identify at some tangible level with this idea of pruning back and cutting back the ivy so it doesn't invade every aspect of life, or in this case, the home, in our homes. When we're looking at this scripture, Jesus is referring to himself as the true vine. He says, "I am the vine of life." This is one of 7 different "I am" statements in the Gospel of John. Just these really great statements. And so we're focusing on, "I am the true vine." And Jesus here is reaching deep into his Jewish culture, and that is his primary audience here. You see, grapes were a crop and a commodity in ancient Israel and throughout the region, and there still is to this day. The vine was one of the symbolic identifiers of ancient Israel. As you can see pictured on this coin, they even had it imprinted on some of their currency. So as it was an identifier, we might ourselves go, if Jesus was speaking specifically to us, Jesus might say, "I am the true eagle," which I think has a nice ring to it, right? Jesus is identifying with what is culturally significant to Israel. He might have changed it up for us. And then in Isaiah 5, in the Old Testament scriptures, the prophet speaks, "My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in." And you can see the prophet is speaking in the past sense that he delighted in. Jews had fallen into the trap of believing that being Jewish was all that was required for having a connection with God, with little regard to how they were actually living their lives. As a nation, they had not honored God, as Isaiah later describes in that same passage in Isaiah 5. "And he looked for justice, but saw only bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress." So Jesus is giving a warning as he echoes the voice of the prophets long before him. "You think that because you belong to the nation of Israel, that you are a branch of the true vine of God. The nation is a degenerate wild vine. It is I who am the true vine. The fact that you are a Jew or an American will not save you. The only thing that can save you is remaining in me, the true vine of life, having an intimate connection with me and living in such a way that honors my Father." And so in the passage in John 15 that we read, I just want to read a couple parts of that again, where Jesus, his words are this, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful." The vine was grown all over Palestine and continues to grow there today. It is a plant that needs a great deal of attention and care in order to produce the best possible fruit. It needs good, clean soil. Drastic pruning is necessary to maximize its future growth potential. As I study, I learned that a young vine is not allowed to produce fruit for the first 3 years of its life. They intentionally cut it back so no fruit can come from it. And it's pruned back drastically so that ultimately it can develop and conserve and concentrate its life energy for an ultimate harvest and fruitfulness. And after 3 years, it is allowed to flower and produce fruit. And when a vine is cared for properly, it has the potential for producing fruit for over 100 years. And this Jesus is telling us because this is a description of generational and eternal fruitfulness and impact. An impact that will last long beyond our time here on earth. The principle of pruning works something like this. Imagine, picture a big, beautiful rose bush, but imagine it being left unattended. If so, it will get tangled and grow into itself, and it will begin to choke itself out. You might see a few not so great roses, but literally it will grow in and consume itself and not produce the fruit or the roses that ultimately define its beauty. It needs help to grow in the right direction. So pruning is a necessary part of the process, necessary to stop it from wasting its energy and being unproductive. You cut out the parts that are growing wild and inward and encourage the shoots that are growing outwards towards the light. You prune a rose bush to help it become its best, most beautiful and fruitful self. And it is no different for us. We must open ourselves to the sharp blade of God's pruning shears to allow him to cut out those areas of our lives we have allowed to grow inward and out of control. Those areas of self-indulgence, pride, anger, bitterness, and the list goes on and on. That's just to name a few. Jesus wants to remove these areas so that we can grow into our best, most fruitful selves. Jesus said, "I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." As I said, this is the language of legacy living, a vision for impacting the kingdom of God long after your life here on earth comes to an end. This is a life lived with an eternal impact in mind, and that is the type of life and discipleship Jesus is inviting us to participate in. So a fruitful life is a life that points others to Christ and brings glory to God. And I think that we all want this type of life, but our struggle, however, is with the process. We don't like the pruning that is often necessary to experiencing this lasting, fruitful life. So if you are like me, you might tend to avoid those pruning shears from time to time or squeal when they come to you. And so let me give you a couple examples from my own life and maybe you can relate. I want to be connected to Jesus, but it is often hard. I find it difficult to be disciplined to wake up early in prayer and contemplation like I know would be good for me. I want to know Jesus and his words of truth in my life, but at times I struggle to make that a regular part of my life, as I know it should be, and as I know I benefit from when I do. Last example, that I want to serve God and the needs of the world, as I've been invited to do, but I like spending my free time doing what I want to do when I want to do it, because at times I can be selfish with my time. Maybe you can relate to those, and maybe you might have different examples from your own lives. So I'll bring us to a close with a couple thoughts and to answer a couple questions. How do we remain in the vine is the passage outlines for us. What does it look like to stay connected to Christ in practice to cultivate a life of fruitfulness? My first thought is this. It's by having a faith community. A faith community in various forms is essential. It is imperative that we find a community of Christ followers who are committed to pursuing a fruitful life together. A group of people who know, love, and celebrate the way of Jesus. One of my favorite New Testament theologians, N.T. Wright, simply puts it this way. There is no such thing as a solitary Christian. We can't go at it on our own. And at Kairos, we agree with this statement, and that is why we regularly gather together for worship and many other activities to encourage each other to love and live like Jesus. So hopefully you have experienced that here. I hope you have experienced that maybe in other places as well, and that maybe we might also be looking for others that we could be inviting into that community so that we can encourage them to live a fruitful life as well. How do we remain in the vine? We do so by joining God's work in the world. All who claim Jesus as Lord and leader of their lives have also been invited to participate in God's redemptive work in the world. God wants us to be active participants in a life of faith, not passive bystanders, often criticizing others. And so we look for ways we can serve and support the needs of others and share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. This is why we are highlighting and encouraging folks to consider Hope Heals. Isaiah chapter 58 says, "It is in the service of others that we find our own healing." And so that is a camp that is created to bring healing and care for people with disabilities and families. But you heard a testimony from three people who in their service also received their own healing. And this is why we serve and support ministry partners like the Friends of Refugees, Sandy Springs Mission, and the Community Assistance Center, to name a couple. And lastly, we remain in the vine in worship. And we worship together as the demonstration of our feelings of adoration, praise, and thankfulness to God for how God guides, provides, protects, heals, and yes, even prunes us so that we can be the best, most fruitful version of ourselves. This is how we remain in Christ, how we remain in the true vine. In a moment, we are going to come to the communion table. And maybe that is imagery that we can have in our minds as we take the bread and as we take the cup. That we might reflect on our lives and ask ourselves, are we leaning in and remaining in the vine, opening ourselves to being connected to the true vine of the true vine, Jesus Christ? Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather as a community. I pray that our faith would be encouraged, that our lives would be oriented around you, pointed outside of the doors to others. Lord, would we be a courageous people who are willing to open our lives? Would you cut out those areas that are unproductive and unhealthy? Would we trust in faith that you would replace that with goodness, that you would point our lives in a direction that brings purpose and meaning? We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.